go to Anonymous calling from Canada. Anonymous, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you pro-choice?
Hi there. I'm pro-choice because of the bodily rights argument. The bodily rights argument basically, to me, says that no one has a right to another person's body without their consent. And what I like about this argument is it kind of simplifies things, gets away from whether or not a fetus is a person and all that. It doesn't really matter to the argument. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also exposes the idea that abortion is murder as being false.
Right. Well, so you're saying murder would be unlawful killing, but this is not unlawful or malicious killing. That when you say right to refuse, Anonymous, do you mean that, well, just as if I'm in the hospital or if you're in the hospital and you need my kidney and I don't give you my kidney and you die, I didn't murder you.
Right, right.
Okay.
I think we would all agree with that.
Yes.
And it even goes beyond, I mean, even if I was in the hospital and I needed a kidney and another person had just died but has not yet given consent to organ donation, I still couldn't take someone's kidney, even though they're no longer living.
But suppose, let me change the example a little bit for you. Suppose you are in the hospital, you need a kidney, and I give you my kidney, and you're living, and I say, you have no right to use my kidney, so I'm going to take it back. And when I take it back, that kills you. I think that that is closer to abortion, because abortion is not merely choosing to not donate a body to help someone who's dying. It's causing someone to be dependent on you and then taking away their only source of life. So I think the example is not parallel to pregnancy. Do you see where I'm going?
I see where you're going, but I don't agree. Even by causing someone to require a kidney or something, right? I think you still don't have a right to take to somebody else's body. So, for example, we all get in our cars, right, and drive around knowing full well that we could get in an accident and potentially injure someone. We might even cause the accident and cause someone to require some kind of donation, or they might die. It still gives that no right to that person to take somebody else's organs.
And I see what you're saying, Anonymous, but I would argue the difference here is that there is no intrinsic connection of responsibility between driving a car and donating my body to save another person's life, even if I cause an accident where they need my blood or they need my kidney to live. I haven't done anything or entered into anything where I'm morally obligated to help them. That driving a car has no connection to providing my body to aid another person. Whereas having sexual intercourse, I think it clearly has an intrinsic connection to providing an unborn child with your body for two reasons. One, kidneys or my blood, it's very clear they are for my body. But when you look at like the uterus, we would say, well, what is the uterus for? Well, clearly it's for the life of a child. And then second, moving on from that, let's see, well, I had the train of thought that I was going with that, that there's no intrinsic, here was the connection. To show the connection between sex and pregnancy, do you see it's compelling that many people refer to sex euphemistically as making babies?
Yes, yeah.
But we don't refer to driving a car euphemistically as hooking myself up to someone or donating blood. But we do see that connection between sex and pregnancy.
Well, there are many euphemisms for sex that we could talk about.
That's just what I'm just saying here, that when two people engage in an act that is ordered towards creating a helpless human being, don't they have a responsibility to that human being? So, for example, that's why we say it's why we say fathers have to provide child support, for example.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying, and I fundamentally disagree.
With what?
Well, just the notion that sex is only ever, at least in part, for procreation.
That wasn't my argument. I'm not saying it's only for that. I'm saying it's ordered towards that. In the same way that eating chocolate cake is ordered towards gaining calories, but obviously many people eat chocolate cake not to gain calories, they enjoy the flavor, may eat in spite of what happens, but there's clearly a connection between the two at its primary level, and I would say that there's that similar connection between sex and pregnancy, much to the effect that when people have sex and they're unable to cause pregnancy, we say that they are sick or they're infertile, and so they have a medical problem. So I think that puts it more towards the side that I'm making.
Well, yeah, again, I disagree that sex is ordered specifically for that.
What is sex ordered towards? What is it for?
Well, it's for many things.
What would you say at its most fundamental level it's ordered towards?
Intimacy.
So there's
creating
nothing.
A bond.
So there would be nothing wrong than having sexual union with, let's say, an animal or a close family member, since ultimately it's just about intimacy and bonds.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't say that.
Well, I guess for me that if sexual union at its most at its fundamental level is just about intimacy and bonds, is there ever people you should not be?
I didn't say it was just for that.
Okay.
So yeah.
But I'm talking about what's its most fundamental purpose for.
Yeah, I agree. But it's not, here's the thing though, it's not for me to say what it is for in other people's relationships.
Yeah, we can take a step back from that, because I think you and I agree when people have sex, many times, the regular rule is it creates human beings, it creates children. Do those parents have obligations to those human beings they create?
Yes, they do, but those obligations do not include organ donation. Or
what?
Their kids do not have a right to take or use their parents' body.
Okay, so when that child they create is unborn or fetal, you said that they do have obligations to them, just not organ donation. What would be those obligations they do have?
Sorry, I thought you were talking about a live child.
Yes, a living one in the womb that they create.
What obligation would they have?
Do they have any obligations to that child? They engage in sex, the child comes into existence, they live in the womb, naturally ordered for them to live in. Do they have any obligations to that human being they have created?
Well, they may not even know that they have the child in the womb.
Well, let's say they do know that other people don't go get abortions unless they know they have created they've created something.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, before we have to go to a break, do they have any obligations at all? Because it seems to me your position is two people can engage in an act that creates a human being, and yet they have no obligations to care for that human being. That seems odd to me.
It may be the fact that they do have a moral obligation in that they would refrain from smoking, refrain from drinking, and so on. I think it would be hard to put a legal obligation on that.
Would they have a moral if they have a moral obligation to not hurt a child with smoking or drinking, could they at least have a moral obligation to not hurt the child with abortion?
Yeah, so I don't see abortion as the objective as hurting the child. I see it as a right to refuse their bodily organs.
Well, but isn't that similar then to a born woman has a two-month-old that she refuses to breastfeed at home and she leaves in the crib? Is she starving the child, or is she just refusing to let the child use her body?
Well, she would have an obligation to feed the child, but she wouldn't have to feed it breast milk. She could feed it formula.
Let's say all that she had, let's say she's a very poor woman in a rural area, all she has is her own breast milk. Does she then now have an obligation to sustain that child with her body?
Ah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. We're getting pretty far afield from the from how abortion is used, you know, in most cases, though.
Okay. Well, but unfortunately, we'll have to go to a break. We went longer with this one, but I think actually we're not far afield that we started with the bodily rights argument, and now we've ended with a case with a born individual, a breastfeeding woman, who that is the only way she can care for a two-month-old, that if she were to refuse to let the child have access to her body, we wouldn't call that a moral right to refuse. We would call it an immoral act of starvation. And I would say abortion is the same thing. It's not merely refusing to let a child use an organ like a kidney. It is evicting a child, causing their death in a violent way from the organ designed to sustain them, that the obligations from the parents who the child has been entrusted to, that the mother and father who have obligations to the child, are unjustly causing the child's death, not merely refusing to provide care to a stranger or things like that. So I would recommend, though, if you want to learn more about my take on this argument, in Chapter 8 of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, I have a whole treatment of bodily rights arguments, including the specific right to refuse argument. But thank you for calling in. Maybe we'll hear back from you another time.
Thanks, Anonymous.